it is Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, July 1st in the year of our Lord 2014. And being a Tuesday, you know what that means. It's ruminations. We like to bring in a pastor who is knowledgeable about theology. Unfortunately, only Pastor Mark Smith was available today. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing real good.
Yeah, you get what you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, in fact, I used to buy items that were inexpensive, you know, because I didn't want to pay for the more expensive ones. And you'd end up buying four of them because they keep running out. And so now I've learned my lesson, and I try and get the best because it's supposed to last longer. But that's why we have you and Reimnitz on each week, you know, because you guys are good. You know your thing.
We're cheap.
Yeah, you're cheap. Yes. Lady phoned in once and said, last night, Jesus appeared to me in my bedroom, and we had a discussion. And the radio host said, no, that didn't happen. She said, why? And the radio host said, if that had happened, you would be toast.
You know, that I had a similar question like that in my theological interview, my fourth year at the seminary.
Really?
Yeah. You know who asked me that? Professor Bill Schmelder.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he always was.
Yeah, a very similar question.
Yeah.
What do you say to a woman that says that?
Yes. Yeah, maybe that's who I heard it from. Remember, I'm a super plagiarist, so all this good stuff I borrowed from somebody. And in fact, I just listened to his Bible study in Emmanuel Lutheran, all of that.
Well, but it was good.
He still does.
He's good.
He's working on Jeremiah. Yeah. And
I used to love his classes.
Yeah, big crowd he has, and he's moving to Mark pretty soon.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I preach there, and I'm going back, I think, second or third week in August. But be that as it may, that's why when you see the title of our hymn for today, you get a little worried. I heard the voice of Jesus say.
Now, come unto me and rest, yes.
Well,
I see what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
Does he speak to me, as we say, immediately? Immediately.
Well, that's very good. What's the difference between...
He speaks immediately to us through his word and sacrament. He only spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament immediately, directly. And I don't presume to have a straight line from God.
You know, he speaks now, in the New Testament, Paul was in the desert.
Yeah, and that's true.
Jesus.
That's true.
And so the apostles too would be included there.
Absolutely, yeah. I didn't want you to think that, right?
Yeah, one of the individuals I listen to every now and then is Glenn Beck, and he often says, "And then Jesus told me I needed to do this."
Yeah,
and it has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible.
I know you have well-intentioned evangelicals making statements like that.
Yes.
He's
a Mormon.
Right, he is a Mormon, right.
Yeah, so he doesn't...
Well, I remember, who was the one out in Oklahoma, 90-foot Jesus came and talked to him, I think.
Oh, yeah, right, I know who you mean. I can't remember his name. I tend not to remember names like that.
But he'd make claims like that.
Oh, I know.
That God spoke right directly to him.
Yes, yes.
That's really presumptuous.
No. In fact, the pastor has to be really careful. Somebody will come into your office and say, what should I do about this? And I look at them and I said, I'm a pastor. I'm not a clairvoyant. I have no idea. I can't tell the future. You know, now, if it has to do with the difference between sin and not sin, then I'll say something. But there are some pastors that micromanage their members.
Yeah.
I mean, they tell them what house to buy, who to marry, what car to buy, and this sort of thing.
You can't just give them a pious opinion. Yeah, I mean, you can't just give them a recommendation. You don't want to do that. I know.
Oh, heavens no. No, because what if it doesn't work out?
Right.
Well, you don't have a tie-in to God.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying, yes.
Oh, yeah. And you got to be really careful as a pastor, because remember, you even do the absolution instead and by the command of. And so...
But you know, I'll tell you what. In the old days, when you were... The pastor was about the most educated guy in the community. And I even got some of that in my first parish. People would... When they got one of these gold toned envelopes from the government.
Yeah.
They would bring it into me. Well, what do I do with this, Pastor? Because I was supposed to know. You know, that
no, no,
really...
No. That, if it's an easy answer, like if the gold-toned thing says the IRS wants a meeting with you on February 1st, you say, you go.
Uh-huh.
Simple as that.
Sure.
But if it's a thing between... should I donate to this cause or not donate? I said, I don't know. I'm not an expert in these areas. Look how many places people are donating to, and the people who receive the money keep 90% of it for administrative costs. So I'm very careful.
How about if you know this organization is this is a no good organization? You tell them that. Say, hey, look.
No,
don't give them a penny.
I'll give you an example is Lutherans for Life. I've always encouraged people to give to Lutherans for Life. I know
too.
James Lamb very well, and I know the work that they do, and I had members involved with it. So, but I'm not going to say, thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. If you give to Lutherans for Life and don't take care of feeding your children properly, that is a sin.
That's right.
Yeah. So... you really need to know all the circumstances of a person's life. But if somebody comes to you, or what are some good places I can, you know, donate money? Well, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you know, International Missions, Lutherans for Life.
There are all sorts of
good places. Those are things. Well, which one should I do, Pastor? I have no idea. You know, that's really up to you. Yeah, you got to be really careful because, like, people will come to you.
Now, how about your congregation? Shouldn't you give your congregation, hey, a suggestion? This is a great organization.
No. What I do, we had the thickest envelope box there was. You know, envelopes were for each, but then I would add all the other ones. So they had Armed Forces Sunday in there. They had, I think, Lutherans for Life. They had a whole bunch of other things, but they were put out by Concordia Publishing House. And therefore, that was enough of a suggestion. And then if money came in, like for armed forces, we would wait 2 or 3 weeks and then take that, whatever came in, and send it to the Armed Forces Commission. But I'm really hesitant to advise somebody as a pastor, you know. And a lot of times it's just difficult to make the division between a friend and a pastor.
You mean to say, now let me get this real clear now.
Yeah.
If your congregation, let's say your council, is gathered together, Pastor, you know, we want to give to a real good mission organization. You would not recommend one in particular. Say, hey, these guys really need, they need our gifts at this time. This is a great organization. You would not do that.
No, not specifically without other options. Because who knows who else is in the voters' assembly that had a bad relationship? Then you're going to have a big argument at the voters. Well, the pastor said, oh, then they feel bad because the pastor, now they're going against the pastor. You can go against the pastor if he's saying things that aren't in the Bible, but you just, would you get up and recommend who to vote for?
No.
Why? I mean, people, it's kind of obvious if you have a pro-abortion candidate and you have a pro-life candidate, why wouldn't you say which one to vote for? Because it's not our business. You know, so politics need to stay out. But, for example, yesterday, I don't know if you were listening, but during the program, one of the gentlemen walked in and he went to the mic and he asked me to turn it up. And he announced that the Supreme Court had ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby, which was excellent.
Yes.
We even sang a hymn at chapel at the end, thanking God for
that,
because
absolutely.
President Harrison has been quite involved with this.
Absolutely.
And so people will say, well, that's politics. No, it's not. The church speaks to the political realm in the area of morality.
Yeah.
And to force somebody to pay... you know, for the Nazis to kill babies in the womb. You just don't do that. Yeah, and I know your church is very strong on that, too. You had a set of crosses up and things like that. And of course, the mainstream media doesn't get this at all. They say they're against all birth control. No, they're not. They were only against Hobby Lobby. There were 16 kinds of birth control, and it was only the 4 that led to abortions they did not want to pay for. And so... I think the Supreme Court did a wonderful job there in not forcing Christians to go against their beliefs.
These people should be praying for their own birth control anyway, don't you think?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, but anyway.
I mean, that's the least they could do, for goodness sake.
I mean, that would cut the price.
That would cut the cost tremendously. If they just, people ought to be responsible for that, at least.
Yeah, but most of them.
Expecting their employer to do that?
Well, most of them need birth control because they're doing it outside of marriage.
Well, that's true,
too. Yeah, so, you know, you just don't want to watch television. Every one of those stupid programs, there's a police woman. They always have sex outside of marriage. I mean, I tell you, you got such a bad view of police women on television that if any one of them tried to stop me for speeding, I'd just take off. Okay.
Yeah, we need to get back to the hymn, right?
Well, no, I want to hear, I heard the voice of Jesus say, does it say, give to this particular?
No, it doesn't.
Or give to that, or buy this car.
It says, come unto me and rest.
Read the first stanza,
yes.
Please.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.
Okay, now you said you listen to Jesus when he speaks from the Bible. Now the first one, come unto me and rest. I think you got some Bible verses
sure,
there.
Sure.
But where's this one, lay down thy head upon my breast? Where's that in the Bible?
Well, you know what I think of? I think of John at the side of Jesus at the Last Supper.
Oh, very good.
Remember?
Yes.
Remember, he was the one that was laying close to him.
That's right.
They were kind of reclining around the table.
Yeah, they had the thing where it was a couch type of thing, and their feet were away from the table. That's why the woman could wash Jesus' feet, because she didn't have to get under the table. These were low tables. Yeah. I always wondered about that. Who's that underneath the table? But when you understand that they were reclining, which is kind of...
It's kind of funny, too.
Yeah. You see, and that's a big difference between the Passover and the Lord's Supper.
Right.
At the Passover, nobody was reclining.
No.
Because they were rushing to get to away from Egypt. But at the Lord's Supper, you are to recline.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was John that was
that's
next
good.
To him.
So the point that you're making, I think, is a very important one. Even though you may not find the exact words there, the concept is there.
Right. Oh, yes.
In that culture.
It's a beautiful hymn.
Yeah. Where you, and that happens a lot with children. When they get scared, they run to mommy and daddy and jump up and in their lap and lay their head against them and this sort of thing.
Right.
So that's good. I come to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. This is really important to understand. Every other God and every other religion, you better shape up before you go to him.
Yeah.
But this God of the Bible, you come to him as
you are.
Very good.
Right.
Yes.
Poor, miserable sinner as you are.
Yeah, and I've said this before, but this is a little different context. Would you ever allow a homosexual to come to your church? And not only would we allow them, we encourage them.
Absolutely. They got to hear the law and the gospel.
It's the only place where they're going to have this wonderful good news. Let's go to the phone lines right now. And our numbers here are 821-0850 in St. Louis or
1-800-730-2727.
And we'll talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
How beautiful that is. And you know, you talk about John laying his head on Jesus' breast. And so this is right along with what I wanted to say. I know that in the Susan Komen Race for the Cure.
Yes.
They were down to 30,000 people this year. And it was 65,000 when I quit going 2 years ago. And the reason is, and I'm sure a lot of people still don't know that they are giving some of that money to Planned Parenthood.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Shame on them. And you know, one of your beloved pastors is a breast survivor, as am I. And this is just, to me, such a travesty. And so, shame, shame, shame. And I know that Susan Komen, God bless her, I trust her soul is in heaven. that she would never have approved. I'll let you go now.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you for your lovely, lovely programs. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that call.
Yes. Yeah, the point she's making is that this group that was really encouraging people to give towards breast cancer, they became involved with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And
she was talking about how the numbers have gone down since then.
And they should. Yeah. When you join with a Nazi group that's killing babies, then there's no reason to be continuing to give to them. And I think the church has got to say a lot more against these people who are pro-abortion, because the killing of a baby in the womb, this is not...
Despicable.
No, it really is. But I can understand why they do that. You see, we live in a postmodern world, and that means that people no longer live as the modern world. You know, there was modernists, then postmodernists, and the difference is really pretty simple. If you were a modernist, you believed in absolute truth. But as a postmodernist...
Everything's relative.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
True for you may not be true for me. That's the way they look at it.
They may look at it that way, but I have never met a postmodernist who believes in relativism. They believe that there is absolute truth. It's just you can't ever figure it out.
No
so,
kidding.
It's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge difference. In fact, when you're dealing in theology and evangelism with a postmodernist, you have to understand that the modernist arguments aren't going to make any sway with them at all. It doesn't matter what you say. Look at Jesus. He raises Lazarus from the tomb, but because of the presuppositions of the Pharisees, that he couldn't possibly be the Messiah because he's arguing against ceremonial laws as a way of salvation, they say it's a trick of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So there is nothing you can show anyone in the postmodern world to even move them towards becoming a Christian because they have a totally different understanding of reality. And therefore, you have to get in their shoes, so to speak. And it's really quite interesting that...
That'd be an interesting worldview to study. You know, we've been studying worldviews in our Bible class.
Oh, my.
We've started Marxism. We've started secular humanism. We've studied the New Age. We've studied Islam.
Yes.
It would be interesting to study postmodernism.
Oh, it is. And there's some great things. Jim Veltz is very good on that. But let's go back to the phone lines right now. And we're just going to go talk with... Linda, you're on the air.
Good morning, pastors.
Hi.
Hi. Well, you're talking about hearing the voice of Jesus, and...
You're going to tell me you heard his voice?
He says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice.
But you didn't hear it outside the Bible, did you?
No.
Good.
But I will say this. You know, we can take verses out of the Bible... And when he says, come unto me, I'm listening for by what means, at what cost. Can I just come to him and recline against his breast? If I can get someone to Jesus by my sympathy and by my, you know, this sentimental love that, you know, doesn't need the blood of the cross.
Yes.
Then I'm a traitor to Jesus.
Well said.
I'm a traitor, so I know his voice. I'm listening every week for me, too. Remember, I got to remember by what cost that I can come to him, and I have to stay there at that cross. And
yeah.
I love that about your program and the Lutheran teaching about the blood of Jesus Christ, how we stay at that cross and his resurrection, and we try the spirits. See if they're from God, because
yes.
Satan
yes.
knows those verses. You know, he'll pick them out, and some of it, you can hear a sermon, and somebody might not even mention the cross, and you know that's a travesty.
So, I sure appreciate
absolutely.
Your call.
God bless you.
Thanks so very much. You know, we're theologians of the cross.
That's right.
Not
of glory.
Yeah, very well said. Let's go down the line and talk to Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Baker. Thanks for taking my call. I was looking at this hymn and the Bible references that it gives, and the hymn is all based on words of Jesus, but I was thinking the hymn is really based on the worldview expressed in Hebrews 1, where it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Talk about a worldview. That's what that hymn is
based
on.
Oh, that's excellent. Yes. And the postmodernists don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for your call.
Good calls this morning.
Yeah. Let's read stanza 2.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him.
Clearly, this is biblical. We remember the Samaritan woman at the well.
Right.
That whole conversation about the living water. There's something else that I do want to say. I came to Jesus. This is only believers talking, because unbelievers can't say these things. So we need to understand that this is particularly not justification. In fact, at the top of the page, what is the...
Sanctification.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a person who already believes.
That's right. And so how do we respond to Jesus properly? And the way we respond to him, we take the water that he gives, we drink and live. And of course, that really reminds us of the sacraments of...
Of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And
exactly.
The gospel itself, absolution too.
All right, I'll read verse 3. There's only 3 verses in this. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. Now, what would be very interesting is if you had youth confirmands, they are to go through all of these little phrases and get the Bible verses behind it. Because, for example, where it says that I am this world's, this dark world's light, you would be looking up Jesus saying, I am the
light of the world.
Light of the world, right. And then the whole idea, I found in him my star, my son. Remember?
The son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
And star? He's referred to as the morning.
Bright morning star.
Yes. So even though the phrases aren't direct quotations from the scripture, all of it is scripturally based.
Right. What makes it a hymn, a true hymn.
Yes. Which reminds me, Luther did something that the earlier hymn writers didn't do. All the hymns prior to Luther were actually quotations from the Bible, normally the Psalms. And that was a big difference between Calvin and Luther. Luther, a mighty fortress is our God. Well, it's not fortress in that psalm, but it is the same understanding.
Right, that's right.
He's our protection. Calvin wouldn't do that. Calvin only used psalms.
Just lifted it right out.
Right, right.
The very words.
Yes. But what Luther did, and of course most hymn writing goes that way now, is we rephrase what the Bible has to say to make it more applicable to the people of our day. Like today... A mighty fortress, that's a big deal. What would that mean? I don't know. Because we don't deal with fortresses.
Yeah.
But so there is also, that's why we have on Rumination Tuesday explanation. So what do you think of this hymn in the closing moments?
It's a great one. Would you use it at the beginning? I think I'd use it at the beginning.
Of the service?
Or before the sermon.
Remember, the hymn of the day is supposed to be the sermon hymn. Yeah, not always, but it's supposed to be the main one, that we deal with. This Sunday, we'll see if you use it.
Oh, I'll use it, definitely.
When are your services?
Thanks for asking. 9 o'clock Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Sunday morning, and Saturday evening at 5 p.m. We're at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out here in Crestwood. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, 8646 New Sappington Road. We'd love to have you either 5 p.m. Saturday or Sunday at 9 a.m.
And sorry we can't take calls. As usual, James phones with about 2 minutes left in the program. By the way, Wednesday is going to be an open mic, James, because we're not here Friday, July the 4th. So tomorrow is open mic Wednesday, and we'd love to take your calls or any of your questions. Until then, I'm Tom Baker and Mark Smith, Law & Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law & Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.